Now that the infrastructure bill is law, states are eager to get their hands on money to fix roads, bridges, and expand broadband. These projects are expected to create 1 million new jobs over the next decade. But where will the construction workers come from? For months now, we've been talking about a labor crisis that's touched nearly every sector of the U.S. economy. Let's bring in Joe Kane. He's a fellow at Brookings Metro who focuses on infrastructure. Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
So it's one thing to have all this money for new infrastructure, but do we have enough skilled workers to pull it off?
Yeah, that's a question. And I would argue no. I mean, this is a generational challenge that's existed for quite some time, you know, for decades, really, where there have been challenges not only filling short-term construction jobs, construction unemployment right now is under 5%, but actually in terms of long-term operation and maintenance positions. So think a lot of skilled trades type positions, plumbers, electricians, truck drivers. You know, when we actually build something out, that's just really just the beginning of the full infrastructure life cycle. So the question is, who is going to be filling these shoes for the next 10, 20, 30 plus years? And we really don't have a good answer to that.
Right. And infrastructure, it's sort of a broad term. It covers a lot of different jobs. As you mentioned, you ticked through some of them. Where do you see the biggest issue?
Yeah, I mean, I see in terms of a lot of those skilled trades type positions. So we can focus on transportation, water, energy, broadband or telecommunications, but real challenges in terms of replacement needs. There is a silver tsunami in this sector, meaning that there are many workers who are eligible or already about to retire. And so the question that's facing a lot of these infrastructure owners and operators across the country is who are going to be filling the shoes of these skilled workers who are already in place.
And those are pretty good paying jobs too, right? So, I mean, you don't have enough young people coming into those jobs, and you don't have enough women going into those jobs either. How do you open up the pipeline so that you can get them in the door and start working?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about filling a single job on a single project at a single point in time, but about creating a long-term, durable talent pipeline. What we see in terms of the wage potential here, it's huge. I mean, these are equitable careers in that they pay up to 30% more at sort of beginning levels of careers, beginning for entry-level jobs. And so, you know, there isn't as much formal education required for many of these positions. You know, across all infrastructure jobs, we measure there are about 17 million workers, about one out of every 10 workers nationally employed in infrastructure right now. Half only have a high school diploma or less. So they don't need a lot of formal education. They pay, you know, earn higher wages starting out. And yet there are real challenges onboarding these workers because they require a lot more on-the-job training. They require certifications. And so that's the challenge, is a lot of unemployed and underemployed workers, including women and people of color coming out of this recession, could consider careers in this space. How are they actually going to cross that bridge into this sector? And it's not always straightforward.
So it's labor. I'm also thinking about all the raw materials you need for big infrastructure projects and the supply chain problems that we've been having. So when you put all of this together, what kind of expectations do you think we should have for how quickly contractors can start breaking ground?
Yeah, look, it's the sort of the question of the hour, so to speak, where we actually saw during the last stimulus was the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act about a decade ago. It took a little longer for some of that money to get out there. But that makes sense. Infrastructure is designed to be a generational investment. You know, as much as we have a gold rush mentality to do something very quickly and there's a clear demand, we also have to be intentional and careful in how we're investing this money. It's not infinite. And we have to hope that we can stretch the dollar as much as we can here so that when we look back in 10, 20 years, we realize, hey, we actually maximize this opportunity versus just going for the quick win and doing the same things over and over again.
Joe Kane is a fellow at Brookings Metro who focuses on infrastructure. Joe, thank you so much.
Thanks again.
And as we just heard, this problem goes a lot deeper than construction workers. It'll be truck drivers who get the shipments of lumber, concrete, and steel to those new infrastructure projects. And you guessed it, there's a shortage of truckers, too.
All right, so this student right here is doing what we call a straight back.
And it's no easy job. I spent an afternoon recently with Tim Kernstein at the Phoenix Truck Driving Institute, where a couple dozen student drivers were out in the parking lot learning the basics, like how to reverse a 70-foot tractor trailer.
The hard part is moving the trailer back straight. And if he does it correctly, he can back up for miles without ever hitting anything.
And if you think that sounds tough.
And then they also have to do a parallel park. Can you imagine parallel parking a semi-truck? And the guy's doing it right now.
Oh, he just ran over a cone.
He ran over a cone.
Oh, he hit another one.
But that's a cone only. So always tell the students that the cone represents a fire hydrant or another vehicle. So you don't ever want to hit these things.
Once that student figures out how to parallel park, he's probably going to land a job with his new commercial driver's license.
Anybody coming right out of school can make up to $50,000, $60,000 first year, and it only goes up after that.
In fact, I've heard that the shortage of drivers is so bad that some carriers are offering $100,000, six figures, to drive a truck.
That is true. With the sign-on bonuses and the guaranteed money plus the miles that you do, I've noticed a few companies just in southern Arizona that are paying upwards of over $100,000 for drivers.
The higher pay may not be enough to solve a problem that's plagued trucking for years. The work is grueling and dangerous, the hours are long, and now with ports clogged and consumer demand surging, the American Truck Driving Association says the industry is short 80,000 drivers. That's 30% higher than before the pandemic started. It's no surprise to Tim Kernstein.
Just look at the shelves when you go to the grocery store. Everything that gets delivered, anything that you buy, from a grocery store to a convenience store to a furniture store, is all delivered by a truck at some point. Just a quick example. When I first started out in this industry, I was making 36 cents a mile. Most companies these days are starting out at 50 cents or more as a brand new driver, plus the incentives. So you could tell the demand has gone up.
What are the carriers saying to you as a truck driving school? What do they need from you?
They want drivers, period. Male, female, old, young, it doesn't matter. They want a good quality driver that's going to put the time in and make a really good wage doing it.
Are you seeing people that might never have considered truck driving as a job before, but maybe the pandemic hit and they're like, I got to do something else. I can't work in a restaurant anymore or something like that.
Yes. Just an example, beauticians, barbers, that the pandemic shut their doors and they still had to put food on the table. Bartenders, taxi drivers, they just can't make a living doing some of those things anymore because of the pandemic.
The fact is, though, it sounds like you and other schools, you're not able to really meet the demand that there is out there. Even all these incentives that the carriers are offering isn't enough. How do you solve this problem?
I tell my students a lot, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So every student that comes through, they have that potential to be that next figure up there and be in the industry for 20, 30 years. And I've known millionaires that are just truck drivers. Their 401's got over $1 million in it. And when they're ready to retire.
This may be controversial at a truck driving school, but what about automation? Is that the solution for the future?
You know, the automations are going to come. It's not going to stop. There's a campus in Tucson that's it's called TU Simple, and it is an automated truck driving company.
It's here already.
It's here. It's not going to stop. It's going to only get better. But trucks are not going to fuel themselves. They're not going to unload themselves. There's going to be a demand for drivers for decades to come.
Financial security is part of the allure for Magdalena Garcia.
You do have to trust in yourself a lot.
Just a fraction of truck drivers are women. It's an untapped pool of workers who've traditionally avoided the industry. When Garcia lost her job during COVID, she used it as an opportunity to follow in her uncle's footsteps. She's starting a family dump truck company.
Within the last few months, we saw that the market went up here in Arizona and that houses were selling for $20,000 over asking price. And it was because of that my mom was able to sell her house. And with that income, we are able to start the company. I'm going to be the first driver. My brother's soon to come after me, and we'll see where it goes after that.
You're sort of a coveted demographic in terms of being a woman. I mean, it's a rarity, I think, in this industry. And also, if the industry is going to go forward, I think people like Tim know that it's important to get women involved. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you were thinking about as you kind of embark upon this new stage in your life?
Yeah, so personally speaking, my uncle told me, you know, there are women in the industry. They're 65 years old. If they can drive, you can do it. You're young, you're smart, you're capable. you know, just get behind the wheel and start learning. And when I first came here, I was nervous. I was scared. And they told me, you know, as long as you don't quit, which I was like, I'm not going to quit, we will make sure that you get your license.
And she's almost there. After we spoke, Tim Kernstein and I watched as she climbed behind the wheel.
As soon as she takes the brakes, come look on both sides. You can see how nothing's touching any of the lines. Brakes are on.
And just like that, the trucker-to-be parallel parked a 70-foot trailer into an 85-foot spot.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
That's got to feel like, I don't know, like an accomplishment.
I am proud of myself, yes. I'm proud of myself for being able to do it and for finally understanding it. It took a long time and a lot of questions. And
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Thank you.
One more person with a commercial license won't solve the driver shortage, but there's no doubt Magdalena Garcia will find her way in the industry.